This is Liz Lavender in conversations with Tina Banks. This is an interview about NoFit State Circus, but you were involved in circus before the idea of NoFit State.
The same kind of time, I would think. I think the two circuses kind of evolved, although in different places and we didn't know each other. I think they evolved at a very similar time. Our first circus was 1984, I believe. And it had come from, but we had owned tents since 1980, but I hadn't really got the idea of doing a circus in them at that time.
Why did you buy tents in the first instance?
Well, you know, I was trying to think of that. I think because we knew a tent maker and we lived in a truck on the road, that's myself and my partner Henry Bastoni, and we saw these nice colourful marquees and thought we could do something with them. And we didn't have anything else going, so we bought them. And then we went out on the road with these marquees. We toured around Europe with one and didn't do very much with it. Came back and got a few ideas. We'd seen Jerry Cottle's No Animal Circus back in 79. Who else were inspired? I can't quite remember who else it was. I know, and then somebody told us all about the Tibetan-Ukrainian mountain troop as well. So we tried catering in these lovely colourful tents, and that didn't really work, wasn't really my bag. And then we decided that we would try and have a little circus. And so we did.
OK, and were you interested in... were you a circus performer? Did you do any circus skills?
No, I didn't do circus skills. I did the costumes, I did the decor. I did everything, publicity, wrote letters to people asking them if they'd let us have their normal circus stand for a very little price because we were a small company. And we got together with a mime artist called Mick Wall and his friend Alan Heap, who'd actually just come from appearing in Barnum, the big circus spectacular in the West End, Barnum. So they were all interested in circus and evolving in that. So we got together with them, pulled together a little circus. We did, and his wife, luckily Angela Wall, Mick's wife, she was very good at office work, and she did manage to get us a small amount of funding the second year from West Midlands Arts, because we did tour a lot in West Midlands because that's where they lived, basically. We lived in a truck. We lived in Bradfordhaven. If you remember, Liz, you and Terry helped us with one of those very first Circus Burlesque shows, making the costume.
I do, yeah. It was in Mel's.
That's right, Mel's, yeah.
And you were rehearsing the Boffios.
Yeah.
I think, and I had to make stitch foam things on nylon stilt trousers.
Yes.
Foam fruit on nylon stilt trousers, and we had to cover a chair in blue fabric. Don't ask me why, but it was
I don't remember that. And we did have, do you remember?
And we had big shoes. I had to make Chris Hills a pair of big shoes, and
really?
It was really quite grumpy.
Oh, there you go. You remember more than I do. All I remember is that before zebra stripe things were just about coming in, and I had an old white bomber jacket which we made zebra stripes on with black marker. It was all very homemade back then.
So, as a result of this, what was the name of your company then at that point?
Circus Burlesque.
Yeah, and where did you get your circus performers from?
Well, we actually auditioned for them. In fact, in Bradford-on-Avon, we auditioned for them, and loads of different people came. We finally ended up with, she was in next year. We found a wonderful musician somewhere on the street, I think, who played violin on a unicycle and was absolutely excellent, called Jim Hackford, and he toured with us for a year in his double-decker bus with a couple of kids. It was a bit of a bigger vehicle than we were expecting, but it added a bit of je ne sais quoi to the circus. It was OK. And who else did we have in the brilliant... We had Shirley, of course. Shirley and Richie.
Shirley Pegner,
Richie Smith, Chris Hills, myself, Henry, Oh, Julian, of course. Yeah. Julian Wisdom, Rita. But this was all a bit later. That was a bit of an evolvement from the very first little circus that we had. But it built and it built. And then eventually we decided we were getting absolute full houses everywhere and it was working really well. We were making a little bit of money at the end of the season. After having paid ourselves wages, we made a little bit of money to put into the next show. So we thought, great, it's all going really well. Let's get a bigger tent. And that was kind of doomed to failure from the start, I think, even though it went, the big tent did host two very, very good circus burlesque shows, one of which was Alice.
I think the first one was Alice in Wonderland, and then the next year it was called Alice.
Was it? Possibly, yes, that's right.
The black and white poster.
That's right, they used the same show, but modified.
Different cast as well.
And of course, the whole extravaganza was based on the fact that everybody was convinced we were going to get funding from Southwest Arts, but of course we didn't, and so that put us in horrific debt, and everything started to fall apart from then on, I think.
So was circus funded by the Arts Council then? Was it seen as a art form?
Not really, no. Now they were kind of moving towards performance arts, but not really circus. Circus wasn't really taken seriously.
And was there any kind of training? Can you remember if there was any kind of, you know, was circus space open at that point? Or were there local juggling clubs or
anything
like that?
Well, there was obviously in Bath, there was the Walcott juggling lot. And I think that's where, in our area, in the, you know, Bath, Bristol, that's where the... Yeah, and there was Charlie Dancy, of course, was a juggler. Haggis was a juggler. We were all jugglers. You know, there were lots of jugglers and very small kind of circus acts, clowns. It was, but then as the circus got a bit more ambitious, we started to have a bit of trapeze. Well, I sort of think it grew from people living, to be honest, in the 80s, people started living in trucks because they couldn't really afford to. Well, a lot of people... my inspiration came from a couple that I met that came from Christiana. They were staying in a place where I was staying and they lived in a truck with a little boy and they made leather goods and I thought, oh, that's kind of clever. So me and Henry decided to get a truck eventually, so we did. We bought an old truck and we travelled around in that for a while. And, I think that's when people started to get fairly inventive about how they were going to live on the road. And I was never very keen on the travelling scene, if you like. I personally was based, my history was based a bit in show business with my mum and dad being dancers and stuff. And anyway, we got this idea to start a circus.
So you toured in a small, little coloured, traditional tent to begin with, and then you mentioned...
Just with 10 people was the first circus, and that included a publicist and our administrator.
Yeah.
And then, a few performers and myself.
And then you bought a bigger tent from where? What was the story on that?
Where did it come from? I think it came from Richard... Yeah, it was Richard Abel Elephant Fair. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And we'd seen the tent, which originally, of course, had belonged to Mike Hurst as well, this particular tent. But then eventually they did have it remade. They did buy the original tent, but then it was remade, I think. But it was wonderful, and then they built. At that point, I wasn't really involved in the big tent. In fact, even though my sunshine, my daughter, stayed on as a flying trapeze artist, because in fact, where I was going to with that was there wasn't any places in England to train on trapeze. So in fact, they all used to head over to John Palace's in Paris, and train there in the winter. And our mutual friend Chris has got some wonderful videos of icicles and freezing cold people training very hard on flying trapeze. And we built our own rigs and got it all made up fairly haphazard, but it all worked and it went down really well.
And then I think did that rig get moved to London, and was that the first ever flying rig in circus space?
No.
No.
No. No, I think we got part of it still in France, to be honest. It's still in the shed in France.
Burlesque kind of stopped touring and...
Well, I'm afraid, as everything, I wasn't there. You know, it's always, always lack of funding.
Yeah.
Because when people haven't got any money, they tend not to get on with each other very well. Mm. You know, people, it's very easy to fall out with people when you're scrabbling for the last crust.
Mm.
Or, you know, you... Or buying second-hand tyres to put on your truck, which one of our members, Alan Heath, I can always remember passing a sign saying second-hand tyres for sale. He said, who the hell buys second-hand tyres? Because he'd come from a West End show background. He didn't know. And another comment of Alan's was when driving on to Elephant Fair, where we did a small burlesque gig, and he goes, oh, look, he said, wigwams. He'd never seen one. So, yeah, it was a quite an eclectic mix of people. It wasn't just, you know, travellers. They come from everywhere, from a lot of different sources, really.
And so, you know, you're the mother of a number of children, four children.
Yeah, we've got four children.
And grandchildren now. Mm. And, you know, they've all been brought up quite radically and on the road and in a creative environment. Do you think that's been good for them? You know, I think
most of them haven't suffered. Sunshine, my daughter, who was probably the one that was most involved in the circus, she now, in fact, puts up big tops in France and drives trucks and does all that. It's not actually circus, but she works, in fact, for a group called Space Circus. My other son's a musician, and Rupert, my youngest, who also obviously was born into the circus, more or less. He was only two when we started the circus. He's now quite high up with health and safety and festival stuff. He runs WOMAD. He runs the site at WOMAD. So he's definitely very festival influenced. And so, although he, you know, not necessarily so much circus, but... Mm. But certainly the tenting thing is very strong, I think, with all of us.
Mm.
We all love the smell of the canvas.
And what do you think? Yeah. And what do you think it is about, you know, the culture and the ethics of a group of people that creates this thing? You know, what is it that connects us all? I don't know, what's the magic?
Well, maybe it's a liking of being. We're all a bit odd. Let's face it. Most of us kind of don't fit in anywhere else, so it's quite comfortable to make a little family and have you, if you particularly with a tent, you're behind the tent and you've got all your bands and you park them up and you've got that real sense of family. I mean, it's a bit of a bubble. Circus is a bubble once you start travelling. It's quite a bit of a shock when it all kind of rattles apart, which it quite often does through lack of funding. But yeah, I think it creates a very strong family, and like you say, you know, we're all connected. No Fit State, Burlesque, there were quite a few, Snapdragon, all these kind of people from the old days, I can't remember.
And I was talking to somebody about Snapdragon yesterday, which was quite nice.
Talking about all the connections and the circles, I actually did introduce Leaf, the cock, whatever he was. Leaf Lepage, anyway. And I actually introduced him to No Fit State when they came to Toulouse, and he said, oh, this looks like a great circus. And he was just starting to learn lighting. He'd done college. And I said, oh, well, I'll introduce you to the ones in charge. And I said, oh, yeah, well, come and see us. And he worked with you, I think, for 3 years.
Yeah, and I've... Lovely guy.
Yeah, no, he's
lovely. But, you know, his parents were involved in the very early...
Exactly. Well, his parents were originally... his mother was involved in a horse-drawn circus, and his father was involved in the Tibetan-Ukrainian troupe, and then they went on to form the Hazard Circus. And Mikey and Marion met and settled down in the same area as where we live now, which is the Ariège in France.
And so, do you want to just tell us where we are and what you've been doing for the last week?
The last week, we're at Glastonbury Festival. I've been working in the big circus, Big Top, which is absolutely fantastic. It contains the top-class acts of today's circus from all over the world. My favourite is Australian troupe, Briefs, who are brilliant. Their skill level is absolutely fantastic. Their energy level's fantastic. In fact, the energy's been wonderful this week. And one of the main reasons is it hasn't rained. Which is when you're on the road, when you're
intense. Everything seems wonderful after a glass of gin and tonic.
It does, yes. Cheers, Liz.
Cheers. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Tina. That was a great bit of information about the early times.